about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you ready?
No! I said, are you ready?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
The Dallas Zoo shared this video of 14-year-old Zola playing in his pool. So we're sharing it with you. With apologies to Cindy Lauper, gorillas, they want to have fun. Oh, gorillas just want to have fun.
Yeah! Yes! Yes!
And now.
That guy really sucks. Total asshat, right?
I hate his little eyes. I hate his stupid face.
I literally hope he dies. Yeah. I hope he does. I hope he dies. I really hope he dies. Dead.
Our feature presentation.
I don't know we need all that, but good morning and welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show. It's time for a Monday, the 26th of June. Ladies.
Good morning,
Hi, Bean.
How's the weekend?
Good.
Good.
Had to think about that, didn't you? Anyone have to go to the Valley or any of the hot places?
No.
Nope. Orange County was just fine.
I see these 111 in Woodland Hills, 104 in Burbank. You know, some records falling yesterday.
Yeah.
And I just picture that you cross over into the San Fernando Valley, and it's like a desert. It's just nothing but sand as far as the eye can see, and you just see skeletons just
skeletons and camels,
tumbleweeds,
tumbleweeds.
It's weird.
It sounds like a natural disaster the way the news is reporting this heat.
But yeah,
y'all are okay.
I don't know if you know this, Bean. They kind of overdo it to freak you out. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, because they do make it sound like you'll die.
It's weird because it happens every summer.
Mm-hmm.
And what? I know. It's like it's right on time. Sure, it is a little early. I'll give them that.
Uh-huh.
It is a little early in the summer to be this hot. But really, let's all calm down.
But you feel like most people will survive it.
I think we will. We'll get by.
Hey, the Dodgers, right?
Right.
Have any of these games? What's going on? The Dodgers still aren't on TV unless you're one of the privileged few with the right system, right? With the Time Warner or something, right?
Right. Spectrum and Time Warner.
So people aren't seeing this amazing season where every night it's something new. 17 games in a row with a home run, by the way. In case you're wondering, the Dodger record is 24 in a row from back in the Brooklyn days. 24 games in a row with at least one home run hit in the game. I don't know what major league record is for that, but I want to look into that. But 17 in a row is amazing. And every night there's another star. But and they won their 10th game in a row yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how rare that streak is.
It is.
10 in a row. And let's talk about Cody Bellinger for a second.
Yeah.
The belly bombs have become a thing now. I didn't come up with that name. I don't hate it. But that's what they're calling his home runs, because he can barely get through a game without hitting a home run.
Right.
I think he had two yesterday. We're not even at the All-Star break yet. He's got 24 already. But he was in the news for a different reason, not baseball related. And I'm sure you saw this, Allie.
I fell in love with him even more.
It's actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
So let me give the backstory here. Brandon McCarthy, who's another Dodger player, tweeted out a couple of days ago, "It's ridiculous. But when I start against the Mets, I'm very aware that Jerry Seinfeld's mood is in my hands." All right, that's a humorous comment, because
right.
Jerry Seinfeld is a diehard Mets fan.
Huge Mets fan.
Always see him in the jerseys, goes to a lot of games. He loves the Mets. Brandon McCarthy making a nod to, you know, one of their most famous fans. And it turns out somehow that Cody Bellinger has no idea who Jerry Seinfeld is.
None.
Very confused by the tweet.
Yeah.
Now, he's 21, so, I mean, Seinfeld went off the air when he was not yet three.
Right. The finale of Seinfeld, Cody was three.
Right. 2 months before his third birthday, by the way. Not even three. So, give him a pass?
Absolutely.
Should he
still know Jerry Seinfeld? Sure. But somebody made a reference like, that's like me not knowing who Red Fox is. And I was like, who's Red Fox? So it makes so much sense. That show was not huge when he was a kid. It wasn't even huge in reruns still when he was a kid.
I mean, it has been in syndication ever since it went off the air.
It has, but he's not 14 watching it.
Right. And Jerry Seinfeld is one of those guys who, his post-Seinfeld career, he has kept busy, but it's not like he's in movies all the time or on TV all the time.
No.
Right? I mean, he's doing B-movie voices and things like that. You know, a little more low profile. Well, anyway, here's the interview. He's on with Scott Van Pelt on the ESPN, and this is where Cody we find out about his lack of knowledge of Jerry Seinfeld, and it's very funny to see Scott just put his face in his hands.
Yeah.
he can't believe he's hearing it.
So do you know who Jerry Seinfeld is?
I'm not going to lie to you. I know the name, but I couldn't put a face to the name. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what he does, man.
By the way, I think Jerry Seinfeld would find this hilarious.
Absolutely.
Because he would be like, how much more famous do I have to be for somebody to know who I am?
I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize for anything. It's just like he was kind of a popular guy that had a real popular TV show. And it's just a reminder that there's some younger dudes and you're one of them. So, you know, I mean, that's who he was. Yeah. He had a TV show.
Awesome. Yeah, like I said, I know the name, but I don't know the face.
I guarantee you he knows your name because he's a big baseball fan.
Naturally, he is hearing from a lot of his Dodger teammates. By the way, Alex Wood tweeted at him, Cody, are you kidding me? LOL. Enrique Hernandez, what could you expect? He's like 13 years old.
Right.
It's very funny. Alex Wood tweets, the only reason people are looking past this is because you hit so many homers. And it just goes on and on and on. And Brandon McCarthy was very funny about it, too. But I love that. And, you know, I used to look. Every person who's born has more history that they have to catch up with.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You've missed so much stuff when you enter into this earth. A lot of references, a lot of history. And I used to think that it was real important to get caught up on all that stuff. And there's some stuff I think you ought to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think, as an example, I think, you know, you hear obstruction of justice is a term that's in the news a lot. If you had some passing knowledge of President Nixon and Watergate, I think that context would help you understand what's going on in the news today, for instance. There are some things that I think are important. But in the big picture, if you don't know a TV star from the 90s, I guess it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know,
this shows how old Cody is. When he responded to Alex Wood, he didn't know who Kesha was, so I kind of get a pass on this. I mean, that's who he thinks is famous, Kesha.
Yep.
So it makes the perfect point right there, because so many people our age, well, not us, because we're tapped in and we're cool, would look at Kesha and be like, who? Yeah, and I know we're not tapped in, nor are we cool. But still, it makes perfect sense, and I think Cody is just such a squish, and I love him so much.
He is, I don't think I'd refer to him as a squish.
No, he's a squish.
I'm very much enjoying him play baseball. The only thing I'll say is I wish Vin Scully had lived to see this because I think he really would have enjoyed
it. Vin is very much
so
alive.
Much.
He just retired last year after 118 years.
I guess they're winning alive. For Vin is what they do in his memory.
Hanging out with his wife.
And I think it's
reading the paper.
Just sad he didn't see this.
Probably smiling right now.
Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I can't wait. This looks incredible.
Thank you, Allie. I think it does, too. We do have an all-new Bean's Death Corner for you on the program today. We're going to give away some tickets for Cal Jam. How about that?
Huge.
Now, I don't have it in front of me because it's K-Rock, so I don't have paperwork yet. But that's the Foo Fighters and
Queens of the Stone Age, Royal Blood.
Oh, my God.
Cage the Elephant.
Huge.
That's an unbelievable show.
Yeah.
Let me give you a chance to win those tickets in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. We got into a topic last week with a video on the Internet Roundup where they put together 100 people telling stories of how they walked in on their parents having sex.
Ugh.
And we knew, boy, that's a terrifying, scarring event.
Ugh.
We knew as soon as we heard that we had to do this phone topic. So we're going to be looking for your calls today because I know it's burned into your mind. You'll never forget it. And we want you to share it with us. Especially with your parents' first and last names, too. I think I would enjoy hearing that part of it as well.
Oh, man.
So that's coming up on the program today. What else? Am I missing anything else? Oh, how about a mother effing Spider-Man on the show today?
Yeah, that's pretty big.
How about Tom Holland himself, the star of Spider-Man Homecoming, joining us on the program today? I bet he knows who Jerry Seinfeld is. That's all coming up. Plus, we got the Showbiz Beat right after this on K-Rock. Monday morning on the world-famous K-Rock, LA and OC's Alternative Rock. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52. In for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie.
Hey, you guys. We're going to talk a little bit about the box office numbers this weekend. Transformers, the last night, came in at number one, debuting with $45.3 million, followed by a tie of Cars 3 and Wonder Woman, both pulling in.
Hold on a second.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they still making Transformers movies?
People see them.
Mm-hmm.
Like $45.3 million worth of people.
Super low for Transformers, right?
It is, I think.
But they're making, is this, I think this is one of those franchises where they're making all the money in the world
overseas,
around the world.
Yeah.
Like America's nice, but we've got China, so
right.
It doesn't really matter if Detroit goes to see it.
Right. Like The Mummy didn't do great here, and then did gangbusters all around the world. I think it's the same type of thing.
I feel like, how many have there been? Five? Six?
23? Yeah.
Okay, well, I mean, I guess it's not for me, so it shouldn't bother me if they continue to make them.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't see, as an outsider, as somebody who's not in on the Transformers.
Right.
There's nothing about the commercials for that make me go, I can't wait to find out what happens next.
But Optimus Prime, where'd he go? See? That is answered by seeing this movie.
Okay.
It's not for you, Bean.
Kevin, your thoughts?
Michael Bay, get back on it. Let's go. We need more.
Okay. All right. There's your answer.
There you go. Coming in number two, like I said, with a tie for Cars 3 and Wonder Woman, $25.2 million, followed by 47 Meters Down. All Eyes on Me coming in fifth. The Mummy coming in sixth, making another $5.8 million. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales coming in seventh, followed by Rough Night, Captain Underpants, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. And Kumail Nanjiani's movie about him and his real-life wife, Emily Gordon's love story called The Big Sick. That should earn $435,000 during its open weekend in only five locations.
Yay!
Yeah. That makes it the highest per screen average of any film that has opened this year so far.
I'm so happy for those
awesome,
kids.
Awesome, right? Guess who saw it?
Little Chip?
Little Chip saw it.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was really, really good.
I hear it's the best romantic comedy in a long time.
I don't even know if it's romantic. It's more drama, I would say. There's funny parts in it, but mm-hmm. I would say more drama.
Did you laugh? Did you cry?
Wait, don't they meet and fall in love and get married?
Well, yeah, eventually, but
there's a romantic comedy.
There's a coma that happens.
Right, but it's still a romantic comedy.
Ish.
With heart.
Why are you fighting Chip?
Yeah,
it's just weird that Chip's saying she doesn't know if it's a romantic comedy.
I mean, there's parts of that, but I wouldn't say it's mostly, I'd say mostly drama.
Mm-hmm.
It moved Chip. Let's just leave it at that. It moved her as a person.
All right.
Have you guys heard about this show, Downward Dog, on ABC?
This is with Alison Lohman, who we all fell in love with from Fargo.
Yes. It was all over my Twitter this weekend, and I thought, wow, I should check that out. Well, no, it was all over my Twitter because it was just canceled. Yeah. Basically, she plays the owner of a moody dog named Martin who speaks to the audience as part of the series. Producers of the series say they're looking to find another network to run it. It started with about 5.7 million total viewers, but recently had only 3.1 million. And the last two episodes of the first season will air next Tuesday. So you at least get to see the ending of it.
Yeah, those shows that have a small but passionate audience, sometimes people do figure out a way to move them to another channel or another platform or something like that. Because there definitely are people out there who loved it.
How'd I miss a moody dog named Martin? I mean,
I got to be honest. I love Alice Tolman, but when I heard it was a talking dog show, to me, I needed to hear a lot of great things about it before I was going to schedule it some time to look at
but
that.
But he's moody.
He is moody.
Named Martin. Yeah. Also, a lot of people bummed about the first-year comedy series Girl Boss on Netflix. Netflix mm-hmm. has axed that one. In case you didn't know what that was about, it was Sofia Amoruso, is that her name? Best-selling book of the same name. She's the one that created the fashion empire Nasty Gal. And she was played by Britt Robertson and apparently didn't do so well on Netflix, and they just got rid of it. which you don't Netflix, really
Netflix
hear
is
all
getting
that
ruthless
much.
These days.
Yeah, they
man.
Really are. More lately, you usually would hear of a show going 3-4 seasons, and you're like, what mm-hmm. is that show even? Why was I just Taylor Swift right there? What is that show even? I won't do that again. I apologize to everybody. And we talked about this last week. We were wondering about the ratings, and the debut of ABC's Boy Band and The Gong Show on Thursday night resulted in some good news and some not so good news for the network. Boy Band, which is a series about a bunch of guys starting out trying to be the next big thing in the world of music, like in New Kids on the Block, Backstreet Boys type of thing. They pulled in 3 million viewers. That was less than Beat Shazam, Hollywood Game Night, and even reruns of Big Bang Theory. So okay. that's not great for ABC. Right. However,
I'm fine to let Boy Band go.
Yes, the debut of The Gong Show had 3.8 million viewers, taking the top spot for its time period.
Yay! I'm happy for Will Arnett.
Always happy for Will Arnett. And I watched it. I watched it on video that they sent us before the interview, and I watched it again, so maybe my ratings would help you, Will Arnett.
You're sucking up hard.
I really am. I love him so much. All right, you guys, how about some birthdays? All of these stars were born today, June the 26th. Chris Isaak is 61. Actor Nick Offerman is 47. Chris O'Donnell, also 47. Actor Sean Hayes, 47. Jason Schwartzman, 37. Aubrey Plaza is 33, and singer Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande?
Yep, is 24. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, welcome to Showbiz Beat.
K-Rock Road Trip 2017, destination number 4 is Foo Fighters in New Orleans, you guys. Look at this. You win tickets to the Glen Helen Regional Park on October 7th for the big Cal Jam 17 we're talking about, and you qualify to see the band Foo Fighters in New Orleans. That's in Louisiana, don't you know? With round-trip airfare and hotel and spending cash, I may have to... I may have to go to that show, you guys.
Really?
Am I on? Your chance to win coming up. Plus, we'll check into the newsroom with TMZ.com. LA and OC's alternative rock is the world-famous K-Rock, a brand-new Beans Death Corner coming up. And we'll talk to Spidey himself. Tom Holland joins us just after 7 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though, Monday morning means we check into the newsroom at TMZ.com with our good friend Harvey Levin. Harvey, how are you?
I'm good, guys. How are you doing?
I gotta say, for a big star like you are, you don't take very many days off, Harvey. You're not big into vacation, I feel.
No, I love vacation. I just can't. I don't know, man. It's hard.
Do you want to talk about it? What's
I'm
going
not
on,
lie.
Harvey?
I mean, it's Monday morning. I'm not gonna lie. God, I wish.
You're feeling it. It's hurting this
I'm
morning,
feeling
right?
It. I am feeling it. I'm not. I don't lie about this stuff.
Well, you were probably out at the BET Awards after parties until 3 in the morning, I bet, right, Harvey?
I mean, God, at about 3:30 in the morning, it was unbelievable.
It's going off. Can you imagine Harvey at one of those parties, like on one of the yachts off Newport or something?
I know. I was actually joking with somebody about that yesterday. It's like, God, it's like so far. I'm in bed at like 8:15.
Wow. Well, understandable. Speaking of BET... I have two questions about Queen Bey, and the first one is, how could she still be winning awards for Lemonade? Didn't that album come out when I was in high school?
3 years ago.
It feels like it was a million years ago. She's still winning awards for that.
Blue Ivy wasn't even born.
And secondly, of course, she was not there last night, and you do have an update on what's going on, because obviously they've been very secretive about what's in the hospital, but you've got some details.
Yeah, I mean, look, the babies were born prematurely, and she had a boy and a girl, and they are under these lights, or at least have been, you know, which is usually to kind of cure jaundice. But they were born 2 weeks ago today. As of 4 days ago, we're told they were still in the hospital, and they may still be in now. So, you know, it's one of those things where when babies are born prematurely, doctors want to be really careful. I'm told that long term everything should be okay, mm-hmm. but I guess it's been a little bit rough.
Is jaundice a common side effect of premature baby? Okay.
Yeah. And again, I don't know what else, and you know, it's just been 2 weeks now. So, you know, it's apparently just not as smooth as they had hoped.
What kind of security do they have when somebody has to have babies in a hospital? I mean, is it a whole floor situation roped off for the family? Or
I don't think they have a whole floor. They do have security. I'm assuming it's a suite where there is, you know, additional privacy, and there are probably guards there as well. But, you know, what I'm told is she's been there the whole time. We haven't seen her for sure, but I was okay. I know she was there at least for a week, and you know, it's just like you said, they haven't said anything. They haven't right. even talked about the birth.
And Daddy's getting ready to ramp up with that new album coming out in a couple of weeks here too. So
yeah, he's been around. I mean, he was out at SoulCycle last week. So I mean, he goes to the hospital, but he's, you know, he's kind of been around. We've seen him, not her.
All right. Well, fingers crossed, obviously. We hope everybody right. gets a speedy recovery, get out of the hospital. All right. Now let's turn to another BET-related story. This does not look great for Lil' Kim or her people, this robbery, right?
This is so bizarre.
I mean, bizarre.
This is crazy. So here's the way the story goes. And to me, there's a missing link in this story. But here's what we're told from cops. That 2 o'clock in the morning yesterday, Lil' Kim had rented a house for an after party last night. So at 2 o'clock in the morning yesterday, she supposedly goes to the house with her crew to check out the house, and she hates it. So she demands her deposit back. And the either owner or manager of this house says no. And so it gets heated. LAPD shows up, and they say, look, this is a civil matter. If we need to do anything, you know, go sue them. And the cops leave, and then Lil' Kim and her crew leave. 2 hours later, about 4 in the morning, these guys show up in ski masks with guns, and they hold up the person inside the house. They get the deposit slip, the deposit check back, along with cash, and they slash all four of that person's tires and take a hubcap.
Why a hubcap?
I don't know. I don't know.
And someone wants to wear it around his neck.
And they leave. And so the cops obviously are, you know, they launched a robbery investigation, and Lil' Kim is a person of interest because
of course.
Who else is going to take a deposit check from a person who inside a house at 4 in the morning?
That's yeah. just dumb. That's a dumb robbery, Lil' Kim.
Dumb. But here's the thing that I'm just having trouble with. Who checks out the house you're going to rent at 2 in the morning?
Right. Yeah. And by the way, I mean, look, we don't know what the details are, what she was expecting, but I assume that somebody looked into what the property was, looked at it online, did something. I mean, unless it was completely misadvertised and they weren't getting what they paid for.
Or this had nothing to do with the house.
Yes, or it had nothing to do with the house. Wow, this is a mysterious one.
And by the way...
She didn't even make – I mean, look, who knows how much Lil' Kim is involved in this. You got to assume she's calling the shots with her crew. But, you're forcing yourself to be a suspect in this when you handle it this way. I mean, there's no attempt whatsoever to make it look like it wasn't Lil' Kim.
Yeah. I mean, when you take the deposit check,
yes.
who else is going to take the deposit check?
Right, exactly.
Give me the deposit check. My name's Joe Schmo. No, it doesn't happen that way.
But maybe they took the hubcap to throw us off the trail.
Oh, boom.
Why would Lil' Kim need
the hubcap? Is just the best.
That is the funniest thing I've ever heard stolen, I think, in one of these stories. No.
And it's just one.
Just one.
Yeah, right.
Just one.
So LAPD investigating now, no word from Kim. Is that where we're at?
Correct.
Great stuff. All right. In the newsroom at TMZ, don't forget, Harvey's all over your TV today, Channel 11 throughout the day with the original TMZ, the TMZ Live at 4 p.m. and TMZ Sports Monday through Friday at midnight on Fox Sports 1. Don't forget the TMZ tour is fun for your visitors this summer at TMZ.com. Harvey, get some sleep. Have a great day. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. We'll see you.
There's your band, Allie. You love them.
I do love the Revivalists.
They have a lot of good songs.
It's a really good album.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
Yeah.
6:37 Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's not that I do kind of love death. It's just that it can't stop and it won't stop.
Death. Right.
That's why we need another all-new Bean's Death Corner.
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head. Death.
We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
I don't know what to call my people that constantly love to send me articles about deaths in the news. Are they deathomaniacs? I feel like we need a name for them. But there are a lot of people who are as fascinated as I am with some of the stories. And I guess just based on the email, that this is the story that people are most excited about. And it's Rebecca Berger, who was very pretty. She's a travel figure, a fitness model, I guess. Mm-hmm. Very popular. 154,000 followers on Instagram. Young woman. Tragic death by an exploding whipped cream dispenser. Now, I don't know what this is, a whipped cream dispenser. What are you using that for? Not just to put whipped cream on your ice cream or something, right? I mean,
a can with the whippets in it.
A can, like a single can of whipped cream?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a can of whipped cream. That's nothing fancy. They call it a dispenser. It's nothing fancy. It's just a can of whipped cream. Well, that's insane then.
You didn't do a deep dive into this?
Well, I thought it was some sort of a machine or some sort of something specific that she was using. I didn't know it was just a can of whipped cream. I don't even understand how that would happen.
A can that dispenses whipped cream.
Right.
Well, her family announced her tragic death calling it a domestic accident. French media reported that she died of a cardiac arrest after the incident, which is just insane. The family, by the way, is warning readers to not use this whipped cream brand, saying that tens of thousands of defective devices remain in circulation. I just don't understand how something like that could happen. But there's a long line of people who have been injured. People had broken teeth, multiple fractures, tinnitus. As a result of one of these, here's a lady in the hospital with broken ribs and her sternum broken just because they want a little whipped cream?
Good Lord.
I mean, I was thinking she's a, you know, a sexy fitness model, and I was imagining what was going on with the whipped cream, but it sounded like none of that was happening in this case. So sorry, Rebecca Berger. That's a tough way to go right there. Evgeny Chernov and Yana Kruchkova, I'm sure I massacred both of their Russian names, recently reported missing by their families after they failed to return home from a visit to a lake in Russia's Volgograd region. They were found in the car in the lake. They were dead in the back seat.
Oh.
Apparently, this was one of those deals where they were doing it in the back seat. The car was left in neutral, and their movements in the car made the car roll back into the water, and they drowned.
Oh, no.
The young man and his lady friend failed to get out of the SUV in the water. So that's how they died. I mean, at least, you know, they're happy when they went.
Yeah,
right?
Doing something you love.
Exactly. Yeah. This is a very bizarre story that happens to come out of Florida. A landlord realizes that one of her tenants has not been seen for a few days, as she would have expected to, and goes to check on her and found the lady and her live-in roommate, both dead, oof, in separate rooms of natural causes. Foul play and suicide were never suspected from the start, but it's very mysterious to have two roommates die around the same time in separate rooms of natural causes. He, Richard Lee Hadlock, 50, had a long history of medical problems and died as a result of complications from his diabetes. She died in her own bed elsewhere in the apartment, and she died of cirrhosis. Both of them were negatives for drugs and alcohol. There was nothing to suggest other than the fact that they just both died over the course of the same week.
Wow.
Isn't that strange?
Well, good for the guy that rents the place. Right?
Because now he's got a nice two-bedroom he can put back on the market. All right. Here's one of the strangest death stories, and it happened right here in California. This is in the Yuba River. An Israeli man, 33 years old, named Yov Timmer, was doing something that I am unfamiliar with called face-down meditation. You ever heard of that?
I assume you're just meditating while your face is down. Listen, used to be a reporter, you guys.
What are you basing that conclusion on? By the way, I could be wrong. This Yuba River looks like it might be in Nevada after all, so I take it back with the whole California thing. So two guys are out there doing this face-down meditation. Nevada County Sheriff's Department talked to the one who survived. Based on a statement from his friend, Mr. Timmer was practicing a type of meditation where he floats down in the water for an extended period of time. His friend was doing his own meditation. A while later, he went to check on Mr. Timmer, noticed that he was unresponsive in the water. Now, I get that you're just vegging out, you're just enjoying the water, and you're just thinking about life. How does your survival instinct not kick in as you start to, I assume, start taking on water?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you just start sputtering and kicking and wake up and like get out of your whatever the slumber is that you're in while you're meditating?
Maybe just move your head a little to the left or right.
He was very dedicated.
Yeah.
He really was just committed to that meditation. Huh. But isn't that a surprise that you could drown like that for no other reason? Not like you're being dragged down into the currents. It's a nice, calm lake. It's hard to imagine you could relax so much that you would die that way.
Sounds iffy.
Well, there's nothing to see. I mean, you think the friend may have pushed him? I mean, what are you suggesting here, Allie?
Something happened.
And here is the most bizarre story of the week. And this did happen in Southern California in Orange County. In fact, this was all over the regular news, not just the deep, dark web where we find these stories. This was a lead story. A man in Orange County received a call a couple of weeks ago that his son had been found dead. His son that he had been sort of estranged from, who had suffered from mental illness, had been living on the street. So it wasn't a surprise that he had turned up dead. The father did not go to identify the body because he was told that it is your son and we have checked it with the fingerprints and it's him. So he did arrange for a funeral, which was held on May 12th in Orange County. It cost $20,000, this funeral. They buried the son in the family plot. 50 people came from as far away as Las Vegas and Washington State. And then 11 days later, the father received a phone call to say, your son is alive and he's here at my house.
What?
Can you imagine what's going through the family's mind when they have the whole funeral, bury him in the family plot, 11 days later they find out he's alive? There had been some sort of mix-up at the coroner's office where the man was misidentified as being another person. The fingerprints had not been matched at all. That information was incorrect. They had identified the man based on an old driver's license photo and said, yeah, that looks like him.
Oh, no.
Well, the family is now suing for $2 million, by the way, for everything that they have gone through. And I have a feeling they're going to get it, don't
well,
you?
Well, here's the thing, Dad. Go down and look and see if it's your kid.
Well, he said, look, when they tell me they have my son and he's been identified by fingerprints, I believe it. He said, oof. If they hadn't had the fingerprints, I would have been there in a heartbeat. So it was just a mix-up at the coroner's office. And by the way, in the days since, they have identified the other person. That story has not been told yet. But, just announced yesterday a lawsuit of $2 million.
Oh, my.
I mean, the good news is, you know, your son is still alive. The bad news is, think about what everybody has gone through with a mistake like this. So no telling how something like that happened. But crazy, crazy stuff. And this has been Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
I can't even imagine what it would be like to be Tom Holland, who's what, 21, I want to say, and have a franchise like Spider-Man on your shoulders. Can you imagine what that would do to you?
No. Just reading through and seeing what the process was like of getting the job. Oh, my God.
A lot
at
of pressure.
19, the kid was going through more than any of us will in our life.
A lot of pressure.
Incredible.
And I want to ask, because we're going to talk to Spidey himself, Tom Holland, joining us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. I want to ask what they do, like, for protection and security. And, I mean, when you've got a $1 billion franchise on your shoulders, I bet there's a lot of things they don't let you do. You
like
know?
Water ski type of thing?
Yeah.
Jump from a plane? Absolutely.
I would imagine so. I mean, I imagine it's like looking after a monarch or looking after a sports superstar or something like that, because there's so much riding on you staying healthy and being able to do your job and stuff. So anyway, it's crazy. And by the way, early reviews on this Spider-Man Homecoming are through the roof.
Yeah, incredible.
I mean, incredible. Yeah, very, very excited to talk to Tom Holland. That's coming up here on K-Rock. First, Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday morning. What's new? What's going on?
Well, speaking of movies, let's take a look at the top 10 in the box office. This is what people went to see over the weekend. Coming in, number one, Transformers The Last Knight debuted at $45.3 million.
Michael Bay, get back on it. Let's go. We need more.
Thank you, Kevin. But this was rumored to be his last one, Michael Bay. So who knows what's going to happen? I heard two people talking about that in an ad.
I did too.
Good Lord.
They had a lot of questions and concerns about
it. A lot.
Seems like those two people were very invested in the future of Transformers.
Really were. Coming in at number two, a tie for Cars 3 and Wonder Woman, pulling in $25.2 million, followed by 47 Meters Down, All Eyes on Me, The Mummy coming in sixth, followed by Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, Rough Night, Captain Underpants, and Guardians of the Galaxy. And a movie that was released on just a few screens that we all were looking so forward to was The Big Sick, Kumail Nanjiani and Emily Gordon's adored romantic comedy. And it should earn $435,000 during its opening weekend in just five locations. That would make it the highest per screen average of any film that has opened this year so far. That's incredible. Congratulations to them. Hey, remember when Bill Cosby was going through his trial and he left the courthouse and did Fat Albert's catchphrase and everyone was like, what the hell was that?
Yes, two different times he's walking out of the courtroom and he's for some reason fans still show up to see him.
Yeah.
And yeah, he would do the hey, hey, as he's walking by, which is the most inappropriate thing I could imagine him doing.
Beyond. Well,
like, it's crazy. Like, maybe you're on trial for rape. Maybe you take it seriously.
Yeah, take it down a notch, Bill. Well, apparently, it might have just been for marketing. The creator of Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids, Bill Cosby, filed paperwork in May. That's about a month before his sexual assault trial began, to renew the rights to the title of the animated series and the terms Fat Albert and Hey, Hey, Hey specifically. Apparently, Cosby wants to churn out T-shirts and DVDs featuring the cartoon. Good Lord.
This is a weird time for him to be ramping up this sort of business, isn't it?
And seriously, if you're about to buy Fat Albert on a shirt.
Yeah, yeah.
What is it? Get your life together.
Get your goddamn life together. I think that's good advice.
I think it's great advice.
That was so weird, by the way.
Oh, it was so inappropriate and so creepy.
But just, I mean, do you think, as this story is suggesting, that was him trying to, hey, I've got cameras on me, I got to get some marketing out there for this new line of products or whatever?
What else would it be?
Him just being awkward and uncomfortable and feeling like he had to say something, or being a guy who can't turn it off and he's an entertainer and he feels like he's got to be funny all the time?
He stopped being funny so long ago, though.
Yeah.
So long ago. Hey, you guys, this is a lovely thing that came out of Page Six gossip column, shockingly. Imagine Dragons frontman Dan Reynolds, who was raised Mormon, said he now regrets the anti-gay messages that he preached when he was a missionary. Dan remembers telling gay people that what they were doing was a sin, and he now reveals, quote, I wish I could re-knock on all those doors and tell them I was wrong. That's a
nice awakening.
Right? That's not bad. That's something just lovely. He said that him and his wife, Asia Volkman, changed his mind about all of that, telling him, quote, to be gay is beautiful. So to have that kind of awakening that late in life and to have such a religious upbringing, that's kind of a nice thing.
I mean, I think a lot of people are raised and then go out into the world and realize it's not the same as what they were taught.
Absolutely. Hey, Lord, good Lord. Her long-awaited new album, Melodrama, debuted at number one this week on the Billboard 200. It sold 109,000 total units for the week that ended on Thursday. So she's doing pretty good. Bean, what do you think?
It's a great album.
I thought you'd love it.
It's a great album. She is a remarkable artist. And, you know, we talk about Tom Holland, how young he is. Look how young Lord is.
Yeah.
You get the impression she is an artist that's going to be around in 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. You
no
know what
question.
I mean?
She's an old soul for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love her.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about some birthdays. We've got Chris Isaak turning 61. All of these guys are turning 47. Chris O'Donnell, Nick Offerman, and Sean Hayes. Jason Schwartzman is turning 37.
Hey, Jason.
Hey. Aubrey Plaza is 33, and
Ariana Grande
is turning 24. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
It's loud, very loud.
I don't know what Chip's doing there, but two songs in a row, the Karma Police, the way that ends, and then that Red Hot Chili Peppers song. I mean, those are both rough Monday morning at 7 o'clock songs, aren't they?
You do you, I'll do me.
Okay, that sounds good, too. Hey, it is the Kevin DeBean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. I'm just thinking about Stan Lee, Allie. What must it be like for Stan Lee, who, let's face it, for the first, like, 50 years of his career, he had a following among comic book people.
Sure.
And now, in the last 20 years or something like that, he is responsible for billions of dollars at the box office with all of these characters that he created.
A complete rock star.
It must be so crazy for him to see Spider-Man, for instance, one of his favorites that he tried so long to get made into a movie. And now, Spidey after Spidey, and they're great. You know what I mean? It's very gratifying. I'm so happy for Stan Lee, and I hope he lives forever. Spider-Man Homecoming opens up in theaters everywhere on Friday, July the 7th. Do we have him on the phone, or do we have time to play the trailer real quick, Chip?
Play the trailer first.
Here's a little bit of what you're going to hear. And by the way, reviews are pouring in now, and people are loving it. And how can you not? Check it out.
Good evening, Peter. Oh. You have 576 possible web shooter combinations.
That is awesome.
I can keep that suit?
Yeah, doesn't fit me.
So when's our next retreat?
What, next mission? We'll call you.
Mr. Stark,
here's my report for tonight. I stopped the Grand Theft bicycle.
Hey, could you do me a favor? Hold on to that.
Is this anybody's bike?
Oh, I helped this old lady and she bought me a churro, so that was nice.
I'm sick of Mr. Stark treating me like a kid.
But you are a kid.
Yeah, a kid who can stop a bus with his bare hand.
He is a kid, and he's wearing the Spider-Man suit in Spider-Man Homecoming. We are delighted to welcome Tom Holland to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Tom,
good
how
morning,
are you?
Guys. How are you?
What's going on, my friend?
I am chilling in my bed, enjoying a nice morning of phoner interviews, and all is good.
Let's talk about this this interview schedule that you've been on, because you've been around the world promoting Spider-Man for a while now. Where all have you been, Tom?
I have been everywhere. I think we've been on tour for a month now. I think we have about 2.5 weeks left, and it's been crazy. It's been a real whirlwind. It took a lot of getting used to. Jet lag is something that has never really affected me ever until now, and it has hit me like a train. But I've had a lot of fun while doing it.
I mean, and you have to be breathing, you and everyone at Marvel have to be breathing such a sigh of relief now that the reviews are starting to come out and people can't find enough words to say how great this movie is. You must love that.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't know how stressed I was until the stress went away. And it's been such a labor of love, this movie, and the crew and the director and the cast all worked so hard to make this movie what it is. So for me, it's just so wonderful to see everyone's hard work pay off, you know?
Yeah,
and that everyone can really sort of accomplish what they wanted to.
I was reading about the process of the auditions, the sending in tapes, then meeting with the guys, this, that. Not only that, it was 5 months, and then afterwards it was, okay, we're going to call you tomorrow and let you know. We're going to call you tomorrow and let you know. Weeks would go by, and then how did you finally find out that you landed this role?
Yeah, it was too long of a process, you know. Mm-hmm. Basically, my whole life became Spider-Man. All I could do online was search for Spider-Man news. All I was doing was reading Spider-Man comics and trying to learn about the character and going to the gym. And they said after my last audition, we will let you know tomorrow. Stay here in Atlanta because you're going to need to start filming in like 3 days. So I was like, oh, okay, this is great. At least if I don't get it, I'm going to find out tomorrow.
Right.
And then 6 weeks later, I'm on Instagram in my bed. And I see a picture that Marvel had posted saying, go to our website to find out who the new Spider-Man is.
And did your heart sink right then? Like, clearly they would have told me.
Yeah, you know, I was like, well, it's over. I haven't got it. I should read the article, you know, just to pay respects to the other kid and stuff and this and that. But it said my name, and I went absolutely ballistic, and I couldn't believe it.
That is incredible.
Was that a mix-up? Like, did somebody try to get a hold of you to tell you the news in person but just were unable to reach you? Or is this what their plan was all along, was for you to find out online?
Believe me, every phone call that came in those 6 weeks, I answered.
Yeah.
I think what happened is the news leaked. Someone must have leaked it. And then they did a press release to try and make it look like it didn't leak.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
I love, though, that your brother was like, nope, they've been hacked. You didn't get it.
Yeah, my brother was like, dude, come on. Really? They would call you. That's just complete and utter nonsense. And then I called up the studio and was like, can you guys let me know if this is true or not? And they did, which was an amazing day.
Wow.
This is the voice of actor Tom Holland here on the Kevin and Bean Show, star of Spider-Man Homecoming in theaters everywhere on Friday, July 7th. There was a lot of press over this weekend, Tom, about your tattoo that you recently got, and I wondered if you could tell us the story about that.
Yeah, the tattoo was a very impulse thing. I was here in New York filming, and a friend of mine, her mom, was getting a tattoo at the studio called the Bang Bang Studio, and I know his work. You know, I've been a fan of his. So I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. How did you get on his list? And she was like, he would do a tattoo on you in a heartbeat. So I started texting him. I was like, dude, I really want to get a Spider-Man tattoo. He's like, that would be so cool. Please come to the studio. Let's set it up. And I got there, and I told him what I wanted, which was the symbol from my chest on the suit, dangling from a web. He's like, dude, that's so dope. I can't wait to do it. And he's like, where do you want it? I was like, I'd like it on the bottom of my foot, please. And he was like, where do you want it? I was like, no, seriously, I want it on the bottom of my foot. He's like, dude, do you have any idea how much that's going to hurt? I was like, you'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Just do it. Bearing in mind, I've never had a tattoo in my life.
Oh.
And it was agony.
Yeah, but that's a painful place.
I love it. I really love it because I forget I have it. And I didn't tell my parents I had one because my dad said if I ever got a tattoo, he'd like chop my arm off.
Well, he found out on Twitter, didn't he?
Yeah, something like that. But I was doing a handstand in the kitchen of my house with no socks on. And my mum was like, what's that on your foot?
Oh, my gosh.
But they actually thought it was really cool. They really like it.
That's, I mean, that is a cool tattoo, and that's something no matter, I mean, and I'm sure you'll have a long, successful career, but you'll always look back on this special time in your life, and that'll be a great memory for you, I bet.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
What's the hardest thing about being Spider-Man in the movie? Is it the fly-in? Is it the wire work, or what?
It's the tightness of the suit in, you know, the general sort of male genitalia area.
I see. Okay.
I see.
The biggest challenge for me. I remember the first time I had to put the suit on, they gave me a thong. And excuse me, why are you handing me this? What do I have to wear this for? And, so getting used to that aspect of the suit was pretty complicated.
Well, welcome to our world with Spanx.
Yeah.
Tom, talk for a minute, if you would, about, I mean, I can't even imagine as an actor and as a movie fan what it must be like to work with Robert Downey Jr. I mean, he is such an icon. And Michael Keaton, for that matter, by the way. And you've got to feel like such a kid. And you show up and you've got these legends around you. Is it possible for you to put that out of your mind and just treat them like characters in a movie when you're acting with them?
Well, the cool thing is when you meet these guys is you realize very quickly that they are just regular guys, you know. Mm-hmm. They're very fun. They're easy to talk to. They're kind, welcoming, warm. The funny thing is with Michael is you'll be talking to him, having a good chat. He's a nice guy. They say action, and then he's terrifying. They're like, whoa, dude, okay, chill out. Whoa, what happened? So I was so lucky that I had two great guys, you know, supporting me in this movie. They're both fantastic in the movie, and fans are going to love them.
I mean, look at your life. You're hanging out with Batman. You're hanging out with Iron Man. You know, it's so insane. And I saw your tweet a couple of days ago where you said it was 2 years ago this week, I guess, that you got the Spider-Man role that just changed your life forever. And you just must feel like you're walking through life just pinching yourself.
You know, I don't want to pinch myself because I'm afraid I'll wake up. You know, I am having the time of my life, and I genuinely feel like the luckiest kid alive. I have the best fans. Everyone has been so supportive, and it's just been an absolute roller coaster, and I just really hope I get to keep going round.
Well, we're so very happy for your success and so excited to see this movie on the 4th of July weekend. It opens up everywhere on Friday, July 7th. Tom Holland, you're a good one, man. We appreciate you coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. Continued success to you, my friend.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you very much, and I'll speak to you next time. Thanks,
bye-bye.
Guys. Bye-bye.
All right, calling all Foo Fighters fans right now. And who isn't a Foo Fighters fan? We're talking about K-Rock Road Trip 2017 Destination Number 4. You see the Foo Fighters in New Orleans over Halloween weekend, you guys, at the Voodoo Experience. How about that?
Such a great... Awesome.
That's the grand prize. That's the grand prize. And listen, even if you don't win the grand prize, you're in because we're giving away tickets to see the Foo Fighters along with all the other great acts, including Queens of the Stone Age, Cage the Elephant, Royal Blood, and so much more at the Glen Helen Regional Park on October 7th. That is the Cal Jam 17. We're looking for contestants right now for a Foo Fighters music game. If you know and love their music like we do, call us now, 1-800-520-1067. We'll play that coming up here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, the Dodgers, right?
Right.
Have any of these games? What's going on? The Dodgers still aren't on TV, unless you're one of the privileged few with the right system, right? With the Time Warner or something, right?
Right. Spectrum Time Warner.
So people aren't seeing this amazing season where mm-hmm. every night it's something new. 17 games in a row with a home run, by the mm-hmm. way. In case you're wondering, the Dodger record is 24 in a row from back in the Brooklyn days. 24 games in a row with at least one home run hit in the game. I don't know what the major league record is for that, but I want to look into that. But 17 in a row is amazing. And every night there's another star. But and they won their 10th game in a row yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how rare that streak is.
It is.
10 in a row. And let's talk about Cody Bellinger for a second.
Yeah.
The belly bombs have become a thing now. I didn't come up with that name. I don't hate it. But that's what they're calling his home runs, because he can barely get through a game without hitting a home run.
Right.
I think he had two yesterday. We're not even at the All-Star break yet. He's got 24 already. But he was in the news for a different reason, not baseball related. And I'm sure you saw this, Allie.
I fell in love with him even more.
It's actually kind of funny.
Yeah.
So let me give the backstory here. Brandon McCarthy, who's another Dodger player, tweeted out a couple of days ago, "It's ridiculous, but when I start against the Mets, I'm very aware that Jerry Seinfeld's mood is in my hands." All right, that's a humorous comment, because
right.
Jerry Seinfeld is a diehard Mets fan.
Huge Mets fan.
Always see him in the jerseys, goes to a lot of games. He loves the Mets. Brandon McCarthy making a nod to, you know, one of their most famous fans.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out, somehow, that Cody Bellinger has no idea who Jerry Seinfeld is.
None.
Very confused by the tweet.
Yeah.
Now, he's 21, so, I mean, Seinfeld went off the air when he was not yet three.
Right. The finale of Seinfeld, Cody was three.
Right. 2 months before his third birthday, by the way. Not even three. So, give him a pass?
Absolutely.
Should he
still know Jerry Seinfeld? Sure. But somebody made a reference like, that's like me not knowing who Red Fox is. And I was like, who's Red Fox? So it makes so much sense. That show was not huge when he was a kid. It
No.
wasn't even huge in reruns still when he was a kid.
I mean, it has been in syndication ever since it went off the air.
It
granted.
Has, but he's not 14 watching it.
Right. And Jerry Seinfeld is one of those guys who, his post-Seinfeld career, he has kept busy, but it's not like he's in movies all the time or on TV all the time.
No.
Right? I mean,
no.
He's doing B-movie voices and things like that. You know, a little more low profile. Well, anyway, here's the interview. He's on with Scott Van Pelt on the ESPN, and this is where Cody we find out about his lack of knowledge of Jerry Seinfeld. And it's very funny to see Scott just put his face in his hands.
Yeah.
He can't believe he's hearing it.
So do you know who Jerry Seinfeld is?
I'm not going to lie to you. I know the name, but I couldn't put a face to the name. Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know what he...
That's incredible.
I don't really know what he does, man.
By the way, I think Jerry Seinfeld would find this hilarious.
Absolutely.
Because he would be like, how much more famous do I have to be for somebody to know who I am?
I'm sorry.
You don't have to apologize for anything. It's just like he was kind of a popular guy that had a real popular TV show, and it's just a reminder that there's some younger dudes, and you're one of them. So, you know, I mean, that's who he was.
Yeah.
He had a TV show.
Awesome. Yeah, I know the name, but I don't know the face.
I guarantee you he knows your name because he's a big baseball fan.
Naturally, he is hearing from a lot of his Dodger teammates. By the way, Alex Wood tweeted at him, "Cody, are you kidding me? LOL." Enrique Hernandez, "What could you expect? He's like 13 years old."
Right.
It's very funny. Alex Wood tweets, "The only reason people are looking past this is because you hit so many homers." And it just goes on and on and on. And Brandon McCarthy was very funny about it, too. But I love that. And, you know, I used to look. Every person who's born has more history that they have to catch up with.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You've missed so much stuff when you enter into this earth. A lot of references, a lot of history. And I used to think that it was real important to get caught up on all that stuff. And there's some stuff I think you ought to know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think, as an example, I think, you know, you hear obstruction of justice is a term that's in the news a lot. If you had some passing knowledge of President Nixon and Watergate, I think that context would help you understand what's going on in the news today, for instance. There are some things that I think are important. But in the big picture, if you don't know a TV star from the 90s, I guess it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know,
this shows how old Cody is. Mm-hmm. When he responded to Alex Wood, he didn't know who Kesha was, so I kind of get a pass on this. I mean, that's who he thinks is famous, Kesha.
Yep.
So it makes the perfect point right there, because so many people our age, well, not us, because we're tapped in and we're cool, would look at Kesha and be like, who? Yeah, and I know we're not tapped in, nor are we cool. But still, it makes perfect sense, and I think Cody is just such a squish, and I love him so much.
He is, I don't think I'd refer to him as a squish.
No, he's a squish.
I'm very much enjoying him play baseball. The only thing I'll say is I wish Vin Scully had lived to see this because I think he really would have enjoyed
it. Vin is very much
so
alive.
Much.
He just retired last year after 118 years.
I guess they're winning alive. For Vin is what they do in his
just
memory.
Hanging out with his wife.
And I think it's,
reading the paper.
Just sad he didn't see this.
Probably smiling right now.
LA and OC's alternative rock, some Imagine Dragons here on a Monday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ali, you watched some of Foo Fighters at Glastonbury?
I did. So good.
Are they maybe the most entertaining rock band on stage in the world today?
I think so, yeah.
I think they might be.
Yeah.
And this is unbelievable, this K-Rock Road Trip 2017 that we have unveiled this morning. We're giving away tickets to the Cal Jam 17, which, as you know, is coming up on October 7th, Glen Helen. This is the show that they're doing with Queens of the Stone Age, Cage the Elephant, Liam Gallagher, and Royal Blood, and so much more. It's an amazing prize. But that's not the end of it. Win that, and you're in the drawing that we'll do Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show to see the Foo Fighters again at another amazing festival, the Voodoo Experience.
Oh.
And that's got the Killers and Kendrick Lamar and so much more on that show. So it's really a win for you. And we're doing it with a game for Foo Fighters fans only that we like to call Just a Second.
Just a Second!
All right, here's the way the game works. You know and love Foo Fighters songs. We're going to play the first second of a Foo Fighters song, and all you have to do is identify it by its title. We'll play it for you twice. You tell us what it is by its title, and you go into the drawing, and somebody in less than 5 minutes will win these Foo Fighters tickets. Why don't we start and take them in order, Chip, with Hollywood's Jason on line one to get us going. Hey, Jason, how are you, man?
I'm great. How are you?
Thank you for holding on. So the game is Just a Second, all right? I'm going to play it for you twice, the first second of a Foo Fighters song. You ready to go?
Yep.
All right, listen up. One more time, please.
Times Like These.
It is Times Like These. And that is how that's done. Jason,
yeah.
Hang on. You're in the drawing. Let's try Anthony Santa Monica up next, line two. Hey, Anthony.
Good morning.
All right. Good luck to you, my Foo Fighters fan. Here we go. Listen up. One more time. What song? You've heard it. You know it.
Oh, I do.
It's the one that I always think is Detachable Penis, but it's not. It's a Foo Fighters song called...
I'm going to guess that wrong, but I know I'm wrong.
You are wrong. In fact, it was Rope we were looking for.
Damn it!
Sorry, Anthony. We've ruined the man's whole day,
yeah,
Allie.
That was rough.
Let's try Brandon Fullerton, line three. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, how's it going?
Let's see how you do. We're playing Just a Second.
Just a Second!
Here's your song.
Monkey Wrench.
Yeah, it is. All right. Jason is in. Brandon is in. Let's see if we can get some Forrest going. He's in Riverside, line five. Hey, Forrest.
Hey, party people.
Good luck. Here's your Just a Second Foo Fighter song. One more time.
Oh, God. One more time?
Nope.
Only play twice.
Just a two. Okay. I didn't do my best. I'm sorry. It's a walk.
I'm sorry. No, it was DOA this time. DOA. And that's what's tough about... Thank you, Forrest. Appreciate the listen. That's what's tough about this game is that you've heard all of these songs a million times on K-Rock. But which one is it? That's the key. Let's try Gabriel Wilmington up next, line six. Hey, Gabe, you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
Good luck. Here's your foos.
The Pretender.
Gabe. No. Close. Same album, I think. All My Life we were looking for. All right, let's do a couple more. How about let's get a lady in the mix? We haven't heard from Desiree in Whittier yet. She's on line seven. Hey, Des.
Hi.
Good luck to you. We're playing Just a Second.
Just a Second.
Here's your
food. I've
foos.
Got enough.
One more time.
I've got enough.
To make. Oh, I know this song.
Good.
I've got another confession to make. Oh, God. Why can't I learn to fly?
No.
Oh, man.
Best of you.
I've got another confession to make.
So sorry. Thanks for playing anyway. Brandon is in the drawing also. Jason, only one will win tickets to see Foos and all the rest at the Glen Helen Regional Park on October 7th for CalFest 17 and be qualified for the grand prize drawing to see the band one more time in New Orleans. Miss Alan McKay, who is our winner, please?
The winner is Brandon.
Yay!
Hey, Brandon.
Hey.
Thanks for paying attention. You've won. Just a second. Have a good time at the Foos.
Okay.
Just a second!
LA and OC's Alternative Rock. It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday morning. More great reporting from The Hollywood Reporter, by the way. This article about what's been going on behind the scenes on this Han Solo movie.
Yikes.
A lot of troubles, you guys. And we're going to talk to our friend Matt Bellany from The Hollywood Reporter all about it and what it means for that movie. I mean, Star Wars has had, I mean, they've had some problems with some of their movies in the past, but they usually end up patching them up and making them great. I mean, I do feel like they've got the right people in place to make sure that they get it right before they release the movie, right? Just may take a little longer.
I feel like when you announce there's a new director and the whole crew starts cheering, that's a bad sign for the Han Solo movie.
It's a bad sign. We'll find more about this with Matt because it's a breaking Hollywood story this morning, and it's fascinating, the behind-the-scenes stuff that's going on. First, though, 7:55 in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie.
I feel like more people are watching RuPaul's Drag Race than ever before.
I think you're right about that.
Which is interesting because
it's been on forever.
It's been on forever. Yeah, season 9 just finished, and VH1 has renewed the season for a 10th season. But remember, there were questions when Logo had it. They ran the first 8 seasons. They weren't even sure if they were going to stay with it, and then VH1 swooped in. And now RuPaul's won an Emmy Award, and VH1 is staying with it for another season altogether. It just seems like VH1 kind of reinvigorated the whole thing.
I think you're right. And by the way, RuPaul has turned into a national treasure. Oh, he was such a groundbreaker and has done so many interesting things throughout the years. And I think now people, you know, are starting to wake up to that and respect that.
Agree. 100%. And those rumors about Lionel Richie joining American Idol, they are not quitting. Apparently, he met with the head honchos who absolutely love him. And word is he'll be one of the nicer judges, like Katy Perry, but he can't negotiate until Ryan Seacrest's deal is completely finished. So I guess they're just waiting for that to see how much money is left over for him. But so it's those two. Who would the third be? Do we know?
Well, first of all, we need to mention that if this deal goes down, Lionel Richie will get more Richie every time he's on TV. Oh, we first of all need to say that.
That's one for Burtonsville, for Lionel Richie, and he gets more Richie every time we play one of his songs.
Good Lord.
Who knew I could use that joke 35 years later? Who will be the third one? I don't know. Somebody inexpensive, I guess.
And wouldn't it have to be someone mean? Because if Katy Perry's the nice one, Lionel Richie's the nice one.
Fred Durst.
Yeah.
Fred Durst. No. I think we need someone a little different, Chip.
Come on.
I don't know. That's that's interesting. I don't know. I wonder how wide a net they're casting on something like that. How big a star you have to be and how much personality you have to for that job. Because it doesn't work if everybody's just fawning over the contestants. Because a lot of those contestants on those shows need to be told they're awful.
You know who would be perfect, and I despise him? Piers Morgan. He'd be perfect, because he's such a d-bag, and he doesn't care that people hate him. He'd be great.
I mean, I liked him as a judge on America's Got Talent back in the day.
Yeah.
I bet they want somebody younger, though. Wouldn't you think? If you've already got oldie oldster with Lionel Richie, do you think you want somebody as old as Piers Morgan?
Probably.
I bet they want somebody who's a little bit younger, a little bit hipper. But it'd be interesting to see. Here's what I know. I'm not watching no matter who it is.
It's a very, very good point.
I have no room in my life for American Idol ever again.
Ever. I'll tune in to see what Katie's wearing every now and then. But I won't care.
All right.
You guys, Bachelor in Paradise. What? Wow.
It's back on track, though,
it's
right?
It's back on
refilming.
Track. But here's the thing. TMZ is reporting that contestants now have to submit their luggage to being inventoried once they get down to, I guess it's Mexico again. But any illegal drugs will be confiscated, and all drugs, whether over-the-counter or prescription, will have to be dispensed by the nurse. So let's say you take a birth control pill, or you're on Adderall, or you're on anxiety meds. You have to walk to the nurse's station, say, can I have my pills, and take them in front of the nurse.
That's crazy.
This
it's
is
not prison.
Insane. Absolutely insane.
Was there some sort of abuse, or is this a response to, oh, somebody was more inebriated than we thought because maybe it was a bad mix of medicine with alcohol or something? Is that what we're talking about
here? Insiders claim the policy isn't because of the recent sex scandal. They just want to keep a tighter rein on everyone's activity.
All right.
I mean, got to go see the nurse for my Prozac this morning. That's nuts.
That is weird.
This story delighted me because Helen Mirren, she's hot, right?
She really is.
The woman is 71 years old.
Yeah.
And you can now add a new name to the long list of dudes that has a huge crush on Helen Mirren. 50 Cent. He apparently, right, posted a photo with the actress on Instagram last week and fessed up that, quote, I think I love her, man. Which is so great because she's, again, 71 years old. Ryan Reynolds has talked about how hot she is. James Marsden. I'm talking about it. The woman
well,
is 71.
She just is.
And is, she's sex. She's 71, and you just look at her and you think sex.
Yeah, she's a good deal. I'm sad that Kevin's not here because Kevin does not have that category of older women who are still sexy.
Which is shocking because Helen Mirren defies old.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Good stuff. Well, let's talk about some birthdays. We've got Chris Isaak turning 61, actor Jason Schwartzman, 37, actress Aubrey Plaza is 33, Ariana Grande is 24.
Ariana Grande
is 24. And all these gentlemen turning 47, Nick Offerman, Chris O'Donnell, and Sean Hayes. Happy birthday to all of you. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. I know it's hard to believe we have yet more tickets for you to see Foo Fighters at the Cal Jam 17 Glen Helen Regional Park October 7th. Coming up in less than an hour from right now. Just gave away a pair, Allie.
We gave away
another pair at 9 o'clock.
I mean, we're givers.
Pretty good deal. So yeah. You get tickets to that, and then you qualify to see them one more time in New Orleans, a city that you will love, by the way, if you've never been before, one of the great cities in America. All right. There's a disturbance in the force, you guys. This is a Han Solo movie, and I know I said this before, but the reporting from the Hollywood Reporter this morning on the behind the scenes of, I mean, I'm stunned how much stuff came out about this. I'm stunned that we, the public, know this much about the troubles on the set of this Han Solo movie. But again, great reporting from the Hollywood Reporter, and our friend Matt Bellany is on the phone from the Hollywood Reporter. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We're doing fine. Is it true? Dave tells me that you're actually on vacation right now, but you're still being nice enough to talk to us.
I am on vacation. I'm lounging around wearing my fat pants and doing nothing. So I'm very excited to talk to you guys.
Well, you are very kind to do it, and I was blown away by this article that your colleague Kim Masters put up this morning. The Star Wars firing reveals a disturbance in the franchise. Now, before we talk about the specifics of this Han Solo movie, there's some history in the past of Star Wars movies of us hearing things like, oh, it needs to be reshot, oh, it needs to be re-edited, oh, people have been fired. I mean, this kind of is part and parcel with Star Wars, right?
Yeah, especially on the recent ones. You know, they fired a director, Josh Frank, before he even started on what was going to be the second spinoff. And the first spinoff movie, Rogue One, had enormous amounts of reshoots and troubles, and the director was essentially pushed aside in favor of another filmmaker. But that was never really public. That was all kind of rumors you heard. What's different this time around is these two directors of the Han Solo movie were outright fired. They were No niceties about it. These guys were let go.
And they were fired how long into filming their movie?
Months. I mean, that is what's so unique about this, is that they were more than 3 months into shooting this film. And apparently, you know, the way that these details are coming out is they tried over and over to get these guys to do what they want. They weren't shooting enough scenes each day. They brought in a new editor. They brought in an acting coach to help with the performances. And none of it worked. And they just finally said, we got to cut the cord on these guys. And they knew that everything that gets involved with Star Wars is a giant, giant news story. So they knew this would be a big thing that we would all talk about, but they did it anyway.
Right. And that had to be an incredibly difficult decision to make, because they hired these guys because they know how to make good movies and they're well respected in the industry. But I mean, if it's not a good fit, it's not a good fit. And making a Star Wars movie has got to be incredibly complicated. I can't even imagine how many people are involved and how many decisions have to be made every minute on that set.
Right, and that's the thing. These directors, Phil Lord and Chris Miller, they'd made a number of successful films, including the 21 Jump Street franchise, the Lego movie, but they'd never worked on a film of this size and magnitude. And what it's sounding like, the overall theme here, is these guys were experienced with comedy and had a very specific way of making comedies where they would throw out lines and improvise and encourage a lot of very casual things on set. And you can't do that with a Star Wars movie.
No.
The head of Lucasfilm, Kathleen Kennedy, she is in charge of this universe, and these films make $1 billion, and you can't just wing it. You know, you have to, the screenwriter, Lawrence Kasdan, had a very specific script that they wanted shot, and this is a character, Han Solo, that people have known for 40 years. And they did not like the way this was going.
Well, you can't take creative license with an established character, first of all. But the fact that they kept doing it, it seems, in the article over and over, and were warned, like, hey, stick to the script, maybe chill out a bit with the improv. At some point, you just have to cut bait.
Right, but then, you hear the other side of the argument is, well, then why did you hire these filmmakers in the first place? It's
right.
Not like they had it was a secret what they do. The 21 Jump Street movies were great because they were improvised and funny and had a great sense of tone to them. And, the Han Solo character is funny, but it's just the way you approach that. It's, Lucasfilm described it as a sarcasm in the character rather than an outright comedy. And I think that's the tension here.
Right. I want to go back to something you said, and this is our friend Matt Bellany on the line from The Hollywood Reporter. We're talking about the trouble in the Han Solo solo movie. The star of this movie, Alden Ehrenreich, is that how you pronounce his name? I loved him in that Rules Don't Apply. I know a lot of people didn't see that movie. I thought he was terrific in that, and based on that, I thought, oh, good casting. This has to be humiliating for him to have it get out that they had to bring in an acting coach after he'd already started the movie to try to get him to make a performance that they'd want to keep, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not good for anyone involved. I would caution against saying that this was entirely his fault, though, because what it sounds like happened was they considered an acting coach as a stopgap measure. They were like, something's going wrong here, and they were trying to help the filmmakers along. And, a lot of times the performance can be so guided by the way the filmmakers are directing, and they're telling you to do certain things. So I wouldn't necessarily fault this actor for having this coach brought in. I think that this is much more about the chaos that was going on set.
So now what? Ron Howard has to pour through everything that was shot. What are the chances that they reshoot the majority of this movie?
Well, I think that's what's going on right now, is he's looking at what they have, and there's a ton of footage they have, and then he'll sit down with the producers and with the cast and the writer and just say, okay, this is what we have and this is what I think we need, and they'll go through it and they'll just do reshoots to figure out the scenes that are necessary. Oh,
wow. And Kim, who wrote the article, said that it was supposed to stop shooting in July, and now it's going to be like September. They're going to be working on this thing all summer long.
Reshoots are not uncommon on big franchise movies like this, but
sure,
the level of reshoots that are required now, and bringing in an entirely new filmmaker with a new sense of purpose and tone, that's a big deal.
Were you surprised, and I know Ron Howard's got a long history with his friend George Lucas going back way, to early in both of their careers, but are you surprised that he would say yes, that any director would say yes to stepping into a situation like this?
I'll be honest, I was a little surprised. He recently said that it was an opportunity that came his way. Ron Howard hasn't had a lot of hits lately, so I think it's probably a chance for a filmmaker like him, who is a total pro and a worksman and knows exactly what to do in a situation, to come in and be associated with what will likely be a huge hit.
Right.
Also, there's a personal relationship between the Lucasfilm people and Ron Howard. He's been around forever. They've been around forever. They know each other. So if you're going to go out and get a new filmmaker, this kind of person makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, last question for you, Matt, because we're almost out of time. We'll let you get back to whatever you're drinking right now. And that is, are you surprised, as I said when we brought you on, are you surprised that we know as much about this drama backstage as we do?
It's a little surprising that these details have leaked out. We have a great reporter in Kim that has great sources. But it all stems from the fact that these guys were fired. Usually that is not public. And the fact that they were, you know, there were statements from both sides saying that they couldn't agree and created differences, yada, 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 that all opened the floodgates.
Awesome. All right. Well, great work to Kim. Great of you to come on. We appreciate executive editor of The Hollywood Reporter, our friend Matt Bellany. And we'll put this whole article up. We'll tweet it out and Facebook it out so everybody can catch up on the whole thing because it is a fascinating read. Matt, so nice of you
to come on. Guys.
We really appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. It's about time for the most uncomfortable phone topic we may do all year long here on The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Is there anything more scarring than... Forget thinking about, forget acknowledging that your parents have sex, but seeing it.
Oof.
I mean, you don't ever want to imagine that your parents are people, and certainly not sexual beings. But yeah. They are, and you're proof of that. And sometimes you're in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you walk in on the rents doing it. Did this ever happen to you, Allie?
I didn't walk in on them, but I could hear something from the door, and I asked them the next day. I was really freaked out because they were both having a bad dream at the same time. And you could hear them both like, oh. And I was like, that's so sad at the same time. Are you guys okay? Yeah. Good
and you were what, around 20 then?
I think like 22.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was scarring.
We had a video that made us think about this topic, and we knew we'd have to invite your phone calls and your texts right now at 1-800-520-1067. The beautiful thing about this phone topic is that if it ever happened to you, there is no danger that you forgot it. This isn't going to be one of those where you're going to think, I'm not sure if it did or not. I'll have to think. No, you still remember. You still remember if you walked in and your parents having sex. So we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. That's the phone number to call us right now or to text us with your stories. So the video in the Internet Roundup last week is what got us thinking about it. And here's they interviewed 100 people who were telling their stories. And here's just a little taste of what that was like.
And I had heard my mom moaning.
Oh, dear God, that's my mother. That's her boyfriend. Oh, God.
I jiggle on the door, and I'm like, oh, God, it's locked. And then I hear, like, Brian McKnight.
You had the TV up loud. Okay.
I thought that the guy was hurting her. And so I remember getting up, throwing stuffed animals at her bedroom door, yelling at him to stop hurting my mom. I just hear, like... And I'm like, oh my God.
No, that's not what you think. It's not what you think. Our bed is really bad. You better stop.
And then my mom would cover herself up and be like, don't get on the bed. This is the nasty blanket or the dirty blanket.
Oh no, we had a love blanket.
The love blanket. That's what it was.
The kids knew about the love blanket because if the love blanket was there, they could not be in the room.
What?
Yeah, right. Depending on how young you are, I'm sure that your first impulse is always, Daddy, stop hurting Mommy, right?
Yeah.
That has to be what it looks like to you if you're young enough, is that somehow Mom is getting hurt. BuzzFeed did a piece on this earlier. Let me share a couple, and then we'll go to the phones. I caught my parents – this is from Crystal on Facebook. I caught my parents doing it when I was 4. Unable to comprehend it, I thought they were just wrestling naked. And by the way, my mom was totally winning. I wanted to join in on the fun because I loved watching wrestling. So I ripped off my clothes and asked if I could play too.
Oh, no.
They yelled and said, no! Here's Monique. I asked my ex-boyfriend to watch my kindergarten graduation with me on a VHS tape. I thought it would be sweet. Well, it was. And as soon as the ceremony ended, the tape then showed my parents having sex.
Oh, I
was completely mortified and ejected the tape immediately. My ex said, what are you so embarrassed about? Everybody watches porn. And I responded with, that wasn't porn. Those were my parents.
Oh, my God.
Would that make it even worse, by the way?
Absolutely.
Almost than walking in on it would be to find a tape?
Although I think Sarah that's calling could be the worst.
Well, let's find out. Let's go to Sarah in Northridge. She's up first on line 2, 1-800-520-1067. You walked in on your parents having sex. Sarah, what happened?
So I wouldn't say they were doing it together. More so, I caught my dad 3 separate occasions handling business on his own.
Oh,
3 separate occasions.
No.
Lock the door.
So we lived in an apartment. It was 5 of us in a 2-bedroom, no locks. anywhere.
Oh, man.
Like, Sarah, not even a bathroom lock.
You needed to give your dad private time. You needed to, like, every day make sure to leave the house for a little while.
So I tried. I did. It was awful. But three times, that's his fault. Like,
yeah, it is. Women. All right, like, so let me ask you this, Sarah. Was this, because I think there are two ways to go. One is you laugh about it and it's fine. And the other is you pretend it never happened and never speak of it. Which one were you guys?
So the first time I walked out and I just, my eyes were burning and there were so many tears and my mom just laughed until she peed herself. And my dad didn't talk to me for 3 days.
Oh, then, really? Like, it's your fault, by the way.
Right. My fault. You can't control your urges. So then the second and third time, I just was like, really? Really? Do you need help?
And by the way, not to get too much up into your family's business, but I feel like mom could have been doing more than she was doing, too.
Oh, my God.
I'm just suggesting that maybe help the man out. All right, Sarah, appreciate the call. Thanks so much. 1-800-520-1067. Your tragic tales of woe when we return right after this on K-Rock. Just ahead of Pennywise here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we're taking your calls and your texts at 1-800-520-1067. You walked in on your parents having sex. Allie, we're hearing from the tweeters, too.
Yeah, a guy, L.A. Hockey Club, said, I was 19, arose such a clatter, I sprang to the window to see what was the matter. It was Dad giving Mom his ladder. Barf. I mean, happy Christmas.
Indeed. I like the way he tells the story, yeah, too. All right, let's take a call real fast, and then we'll get back to the music with Pennywise. Let's go to Joe Downey up next, line six. Hey, Joe, what terrible thing did you see that will never be out of your brain?
I saw my dad and my mom doing it missionary style.
Oh, yeah. How old were you?
I was 9.
Oh.
And you just walked into the bedroom, just had no idea about sex education starting that day.
Yes. You know, they were silent. There was no noise, no moaning, no groaning, no nothing.
Well, they were doing it wrong then. Did they say, I mean, you guys talk about it after? Did they have to explain birds and bees and whatnot to you after that?
Nope. My dad yelled, shut the effing door. And my mom says, yeah, son, I need you to knock next time.
Okay. All right. Good lesson learned. Thank you very much for the call, Joe. Appreciate that. 1-800-520-1067. By the way, when we come back, we're going to hear a story of Lexi and how she walked in on her grandparents.
Oh, no.
Coming up on K-Rock. Talking about one of the worst days of your life. You walked in and your parents doing it. I promised you Lexi's story. She texted in from the 626. I actually caught my grandparents doing it, you guys. I went to their house. They weren't answering their door, but I knew they were home, and I had a house key, so I decided to let myself in. Biggest mistake of my life.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you don't get over that.
No.
All right, let's take Ashley, line 8, please. Anaheim, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Ashley, I already feel your pain. What happened?
Good morning. So basically, when I was in kindergarten, we had a class bear that we were allowed to take home for the week. We would hang out with the bear, write stories about it, what we did with the bear. The night before I had to take the bear back, I woke up at about 2 in the morning, and I realized, oh, no, my bear, I left it in my parents' room. So, you know, I wake up, I kind of make my way over there, and I knew in the moment when I walked in something wasn't right. My parents were mid-action, and my bear was lost underneath them, and I panicked immediately, and I ran back to my room. They had no idea, so I remember the next day going into the room, getting that bear back, putting it in the bag and taking it back and having to do my presentation. And the whole time just thinking, oh, my God, my bear.
Oh, that bear saw some stuff.
Kid to take home.
Oh. Yes, the next kid got the bear having no idea what it had been through. Ashley, I hope you never told the kid who got the bear next,
right?
Oh, no. Right?
I never brought it up to my parents. I just knew that bear.
That is fantastic, but also horrifying. And thank you for listening and thank you for sharing. Let's go to Daniel, Manhattan Beach, up next, line 3 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Daniel, thank you for calling. What happened, dude?
So this is a legendary family story with my in-laws' family. My wife is the oldest of 4. They were playing hide-and-go-seek. Middle sister thought it would be a great idea to hide in mom and dad's closet. Mom and dad didn't know what they were playing and just knew the kids were quiet and not arguing, so they sneak upstairs for a quickie.
Oh, no.
Sister-in-law is trapped in the closet from foreplay to finish.
Oh, no.
Oh, my gosh.
And you just have to, I mean, you can't, it's worse to walk out of the closet into the room, so you just stay there and just bite your tongue, right?
Exactly, yep.
And upside, she won the game.
We don't really talk about it to this day. The others think it's hilarious, but she's pretty quiet on that story.
It actually is hilarious. Thank you for the call, Daniel. We appreciate you listening. Let's go to Covina. Up next, line four. Valerie's got a little bit of a different story for us. Valerie, what happened?
Although I have walked in on my parents, and it was awful. This is in the early, mid-90s, and I'm searching my parents' bedroom with my good friend looking for birthday cakes because I want to know what they got for my birthday. So we look under the bed and or between the mattresses, and we find, like, magazines that are worse than Playboy. That's not even the worst of it. We move to the closet, pull out a drawer, and in this drawer, under a bunch of other stuff, there's like a drawer full of disgusting adult toys.
Okay.
And you'd think that it just doesn't get much worse. I'm a snoop. Even to this day, I still have to look through people's things. It's really bad. But I looked.
How did you not learn your lesson after this day?
I get bored.
It's okay. Really, and what else did you find? There's more.
I looked through my mom's purse. And, you know, again, 90s, they don't have picture phones. There is a Polaroid of my dad's junk up in my mom's purse.
Well, you think it was your dad's.
It was the worst ever.
Allie wants to know if you're sure it was your dad's.
Oh, God.
I mean, Valerie, I hate to put that in your head, but.
But how, I mean, and how would you know?
Really?
No, I guess I wouldn't.
We've just made it so much worse for Valerie. Like, it couldn't have gotten any worse.
I love you guys so much, and you make things worse for me. Why?
Yes. All right. Thank you for sharing. We appreciate it, Valerie. You know, Valerie needs to go to one of those places. Don't they have these places now where they can do something to your brain where you can, like, forget painful memories? Like, they help you repress awful things that happen in your life? She brings a lot of honors.
They help you bring it out.
I thought you could also get things tamped down.
I don't think you want things repressed. I think
Valerie does, although it's kind of her fault because she's the one who's doing all the snooping,
too. Well, she's still snooping, so it serves her right.
What's Richie texting it about, Allie?
Oh, for the love of God, poor Richie. So 4 years ago, he walked in his house to surprise his parents. He graduated college, and there were a bunch of cars parked in the front, so he was thinking, oh, maybe they're having a party for me. But when he unlocked the door, he walked in on an orgy of 20 people and his mom and dad hooked up with the neighbors on a sex swing. Oh, Richie.
Keep doing what you're doing, Richie. LA and OC's Alternative Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ and the Kevin Bean Show for a Monday morning. A tremendous 9 o'clock hour coming up for you. Listen to this. Got more tickets for Foo Fighters for their big festival, Cal Jam 17, coming up in October, along with Queens of the Stone Age, Cage the Elephant, Royal Blood, and so much more. Got an all-new Bean's Death Corner for you this morning. And we talked to Spidey himself, Tom Holland.
It's almost too much.
That's a lot. It's a lot for a 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
That's for sure. So that's all straight ahead here on K-Rock. First, though, in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat. Here's Allie.
Hey, it's Monday. We'll take a look at the weekend's box office. Coming in first, no surprise, was Transformers The Last Night. It debuted at $45.3 million.
That seems way low to me.
It's low for a Transformers movie. Absolutely. But we had talked about it earlier. They, I think, will do the core of their money overseas. Mm-hmm. Right?
Michael Bay, get back on it. Let's go. We need more.
Thank you, Kevin, for coming out with that. Very good stuff. And it is supposed to be Michael Bay's last one. So who knows what will happen? Right, Bean?
Right. Who knows? I just hope they can find someone to hand the franchise off to.
I hope so. Like Ron Howard, a Ron Howard type.
There you go. Now we're
really
talking.
Take over. Coming in at number two, it was a tie. Cars 3 and Wonder Woman came in at $25.2 million, followed by 47 Meters Down, All Eyes on Me, The Mummy coming in at seventh, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, followed by Rough Night, Captain Underpants, and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, rounding out the top 10. And we talked about how Kumail Nanjiani's movie The Big Sick, which is the true story of his love affair, essentially, with him and his wife, Emily Gordon, who co-wrote the movie, how it was only released in five different locations, but it should earn $435,000 during the opening weekend. And that makes it the highest per screen average of any film that has opened so far this year. That's huge.
I heard that for all of the big, big budget Hollywood action and superhero movies that are underperforming, that this Big Sick and also the Beguiled, the Sofia Coppola movie, are just killing it.
Yeah. You know,
the kind of movies they don't make so much of anymore, the kind of smaller movies for adults, are really packing them in. Chip, you saw the Big Sick with our friend Kamal. You loved it?
I did. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Really
I can't wait.
It says something that maybe people don't really want those big budget movies. Maybe they want something a little more human.
Well, I think people want a choice. I don't think people want everything to be one kind of movie.
Right.
Give us some, you know, give us some variety, some options.
I want a good movie.
Exactly. Wise man once said
I heard a guy say that once.
I want a good movie.
I could have told you that, Chip. Sorry about that. This is interesting. Over a six-day stretch, 38 episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000 will live stream on the Amazon-owned video gaming broadcast service Twitch. So the marathon will kick off on June 26th at 11 a.m. and end on July 3rd on the Twitch channel called Shout Factory TV. It acquired the global rights to Mystery Science Theater 3000 in 2015. So they're basically trying to become more of a home for more than just the live video game action. And they're going to be doing this in the future with other movies, but they will not reveal the titles as of yet.
All right. That's fun.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. And it's right in the wheelhouse because Twitch is all about commenting on people while you're watching the movie, which is essentially what Mystery Science Theater is. So it's almost like Mystery Science Theater Inception.
That makes sense. I like it.
I like it, too. Something I saw over the weekend, people really upset that ABC had canceled the comedy Downward Dog after one season. And if you don't know, it's the show starred former Fargo actress Alison Tolman. She was the owner of a, quote, moody dog named Martin who speaks to the audience as part of the series. And I guess the numbers just weren't really up to snuff of what they wanted. But the last two episodes of the first season will air next Tuesday.
I'm stunned that you missed this show, Allie.
I'm stunned, too. No idea. Where have I been?
I don't know. But, I mean, it's a dog with an attitude.
I know.
It's got you all over it.
That's what I'm saying. But producers of the series say they're now looking for a different network. So who knows? Maybe I'll be able to pick it up. This is not good news for me. Remember that show that I was talking about, the Shonda Rhimes show, Still Star-Crossed?
Yes, this is the updating of the Romeo and Juliet story, right?
Yes, it's essentially Capulets and the Montagues. They're being forced to marry each other, so the raging feud between the families will end. Well, this isn't a good sign. ABC is moving the drama, Still Star-Crossed, to Saturday night starting July 8th, which insiders say is pretty much the kiss of death for a show that's about to be canceled.
Yeah.
And I think, oh, well, that stinks, but maybe it'll stick around. And then I read this line. The cast contracts are set to expire next week. Oh.
Does that sound promising as well?
That doesn't sound good.
Look, I know that I'm the outlier here, but I wish there were lots of shows on Saturday night. I hate that Saturday night is a dumping ground.
Nerd.
I mean, I'm excited every week that when Orphan Black is on Saturday nights. You know what I mean? That's one of the few new shows that you know you can see.
You know what you could do is you could tape shows.
There's no technology that allows you. You have to be in front of the TV to watch it live.
One day you'll be able to tape a show and watch it on a Saturday.
Okay, you're living on Mars then because that's not possible here.
Well, I'm a dreamer. Speaking of dreaming, The Gong Show had some great numbers. The debut of The Gong Show had 3.8 million viewers, taking the top spot for its time period last week. So
great.
We will see what happens this week, and we can only wish for the best for Will Arnett, right?
Yes. Come on! Of course,
He's only...
And it's really a funny show, too. Look,
ridiculous.
We had Will Arnett on last week, and I told him, and I'm saying the same thing here, I had no interest in that show or no need to watch it. I was amazed at how entertaining it was.
Yeah.
Really, really funny. And you know, the first episode also had Zach Galifianakis and Dr. Ken Jeong on, who were very funny, too.
Right.
So, I mean, it was just the whole thing was firing on all cylinders. And it's crazy the things that people do. I never want to see anybody spit bananas into somebody else's mouth. I know that.
I know that now.
I don't need that act.
No, but, I do not.
The rest of them, very entertaining.
And they wound up winning, by the way.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. It was last week.
I'm just saying.
All right. If you were wondering why Bill Cosby shouted Fat Albert's catchphrase, "Hey, hey, hey," as he was leaving the courthouse during his trial last week, it might just be marketing. Apparently, a month before his sexual assault trial began, he renewed the rights to the title of the animated series and the terms Fat Albert and Hey, Hey, Hey specifically. Word is he may want to churn out T-shirts and DVDs featuring the cartoon, whether he's a free man or not. What the hell?
Maybe now's not the time to be marketing yourself, Dr. Cosby.
No. And even, like, let's say they retry it and he gets off. Who is going to buy these shirts? And can we make sure that they never have children? Who's with me?
My point is, okay, listen to me carefully.
Okay.
I'm telling you where the road is out.
Gotcha.
I'm telling you where, as you're driving, you're going to go into water. Now, you want to go here, or you want to be concerned about who's giving you the message?
You lost me. I'm sorry.
I don't want to drive into water, though. I know that.
I don't want to do that. And please don't fix me a drink.
Ever. Ever, ever. All right, let's go to some birthdays today. All of these stars were born on June the 26th. Chris O'Donnell is 47. Nick Offerman, 47. Chris Isaac is 61. Jason Schwartzman is 37. Aubrey Plaza is 33. Sean Hayes is 47. And Ariana Grande is...
Ariana Grande?
Is 24. I'm Allie
McKay.
Michael
Bay, get back on it. Let's go. We need more.
Kevin, you got to let it go.
I want a good movie.
I know you do. I'm Allie McKay and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
James Chapman from Beverly Hills is having quite a morning. Look at that. It's only 9 a.m. and he's already won tickets to go see Foo Fighters along with Queens of the Stone Age and Royal Blood and all the rest at Glen Helen Regional Park on October 7th. That's the Cal Jam 17. And he's qualified for the grand prize drawing we'll do next Monday. And you might get to see the Foos one more time in New Orleans, Louisiana, including round-trip airfare, hotel, and spending cash. Your chance to win is coming up. Portugal, period, the man, no period. That's what we decided, right?
Yes.
Feel It Still. That's a great song on the world-famous K-Rock. It's 106.7 KROQ here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is out today. Allie's in for the showbiz beat. Hey, I wanted to ask, because this is showbiz-related, Allie.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's peak TV, and there are too many platforms and too many networks and too many channels to watch everything. But you haven't watched Glow yet?
I watched the first two.
What'd you think?
It's very 80s. There's mm-hmm. great music.
Mm-hmm.
I love Marc Maron.
Mm-hmm.
I love Alison Brie.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish
I feel there's a butt.
No, I wish I looked half as good as Alison Brie does in like those jazzercise little outfits. It's great. Can't wait to watch more.
You know how I feel about Alison Brie.
Yes.
She's my favorite. And
right?
I knew that I would enjoy it. It was so surprising to me how funny it was
mm-hmm.
and how much heart it had
yeah.
and how dramatic it gets. I mean, anytime a show you are expecting it to be good and it exceeds your expectations, that's a good feeling.
Did you watch the whole thing?
No, I only watched the first two as well.
Oh,
but
look
I'm
at us.
Right? We're twinsies. I'm excited to get back and see some more, though. Judy or Jackie, the co-star from the show? She's so good on that show, too. I'm sorry I don't know her name. I fell in love with her on Nurse Jackie, but whatever her name is, she's phenomenal, too. But, yeah, check it out. It's called Glow, and it's on Netflix, and it just debuted this past Friday. It's real, real good. All right, 941. What else is going on in Hollywood?
I had to laugh at Ron Funches tweeted over the weekend. He's like, oh, yeah, now all my friends like wrestling? Whatever. Because he's a huge WWE fan, and people don't want to hear it from him anymore because he talks about wrestling all the time. But mm-hmm. now all his friends are tweeting about how great Glow is. So
that's funny.
Found that funny. All right, you guys, it's Monday. Let's take a look at the weekend's hot movies at the box office. Coming in number one was Transformers: The Last Night. It debuted at $45.3 million. Kevin, anything?
Michael Bay, get back on it. Let's go. We need more.
All right. Because
I want a good movie.
That's what I thought. All right. Coming in at a tie for number two, Cars 3 and Wonder Woman. They tied with $25.2 million apiece, followed by 47 Meters Down. All Eyes on Me came in at five, followed by The Mummy, Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man Tell No Tales, Rough Night, Captain Underpants, and rounding out the top 10,
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, pulling in another $3 million. And we talked earlier about The Big Sick, which is the true story, basically, of Kumail Nanjiani and his wife, Emily Gordon. They wrote this movie together. Holly Hunter, Ray Romano, great cast. And it's basically about Kumail falling in love with Emily, and she's a white woman, and his Pakistani family wanted him to marry a Muslim woman, a Pakistani Muslim woman. And then Emily has a medical issue, and she basically is in the hospital, and he gets to know the family back and forth. Chip saw it, said it was wonderful.
Yeah, it's really, really good.
Well, apparently a lot of other people did, too, because it should earn $435,000 during its opening weekend in just five locations. And that
terrorist situation.
Nope, not at all. Not at all, Kevin. That makes the release the highest per-screen average of any film that has opened this year so far. So happy for
Kumail and Emily. Yeah, they're awesome.
They're a lovely, lovely couple. And apparently it's just a beautiful movie. Super funny, super sad, super beautiful. Chip laughed.
He's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
He doesn't. No.
It's just... Spoiler alert.
And she beat him off.
Oh, well. I mean, Chip. Chip saw it, apparently. All right. Let's move on. Some music news. Lorde's long-awaited new album, Melodrama, debuted at number one this week, no surprise, on the Billboard 200. It sold 109,000 total units for the week that ended on Thursday. And according to Bean, amazing, right?
It's a great album, yeah. You'll love it. We'll be hearing these songs for years to come.
I love it. Very good stuff. I watched a little bit of the Glastonbury Festival on Saturday. Saw a bit of Katy Perry, watched a little bit of the Foo Fighters. Great stuff. Just an awesome festival. I didn't tune in yesterday. And now I couldn't be more upset with myself. Because on Sunday, the Killers performed a secret set on the festival's legendary John Peel stage.
Uh-oh.
That's what I'm saying.
This is why you fail.
It is why I fail, Yoda lady. Two-song set featuring greatest hits like When You Were Young, Read My Mind, Smile Like You Mean It, Somebody Told Me, Mr. Brightside. And then, of course, they did a preview of their long-awaited new LP, Wonderful Wonderful, with the lead single, The Man. How did I miss this, Bean?
Well, I mean, it really was one of those, like, nobody knew about it until a few minutes before they took the stage.
But
it's not like it was
Killers
advertised.
But I have Killers feelings. I should have known it was about to happen.
Well, you also booked him at Weenie Roast.
I did book
you
them
did try to book
at,
it at Weenie Roast.
No,
yeah.
I believe what I said to Brandon Flowers was, oh, your new album comes out this summer, maybe a preview in May at the Weenie Roast. And his words were, that sounds great. And I believed him. So, Brandon Flowers, you're a lying liar who lies.
Well, no, it did sound great. Didn't mean he was going to do it.
Well, he should have. And we
missed
him.
Rock and roll!
All right. Well, thank you, Kevin, for that. And if any of you caught the Stone Roses last shows over this past weekend, you would have heard the lead singer say to the crowd, and I quote, "Don't be sad it's over. Be happy that it happened."
Does this mean?
He loves Dr. Seuss.
And?
It might be over for the Stone Roses.
Again?
Yes. Official word yet, but they reunited in 2011. I don't think they're done. It's
they keep
the Stone
getting
Roses.
Offered too much money to get back together.
Exactly. And they better play a few more times because I need to see them because I missed them last time.
I will tell you, as huge as these paydays are for these classic bands that everyone loves, mm-hmm. I'm still surprised that Led Zeppelin has resisted the urge.
For sure.
That the Smiths have resisted the urge. I mean, there are just a few out there that it doesn't matter how much money you throw at them, they won't do it.
I feel like maybe some have maybe something to prove, too. I don't think Led Zeppelin has anything to prove anymore.
Yeah, their legacy is pretty secure. But,
yeah.
But so is Stone Roses.
Well, they're not really in the same league as Led Zeppelin.
No.
Let's calm down.
Yeah, all right.
All right? Good. Okay. Glad we understand each other. This is an odd story. Dennis Rodman is back on American soil and already making waves. He shocked a group of women at the airport in Long Beach last Wednesday. He just casually strolled into the ladies' room, spent about a minute in the bathroom, then walked out. But here's the really odd part. He was playing a song on full blast, a song called It's Been a While by Stained. What is happening?
My brain hurts.
Can you imagine? He just strolls in front of you in the ladies' room, and you just hear, "Been a while." What is happening? On full blast in an airport. He is such a wackadoodle.
There's no explanation for that.
There's no explanation.
Because it's not like he does things to try to be funny.
No.
He wasn't clowning on anybody.
No, he was just digging "It's Been a While" by Stain.
Been a while.
And
okay.
He wanted everyone to hear it.
I wouldn't have picked that as being one of the 1,000 songs likely to be on Dennis Rodman's phone, would
no,
you?
No, not at all. Interesting. Very weird. And Erin Andrews is now a married woman. She married Jarrett Stoll, formerly of the L.A. Kings, during a romantic sunset ceremony in Montana over the weekend. Apparently, it was an intimate group of friends that came out to toast the newlyweds. They began dating in 2012 and got engaged last December.
I was wondering about Jarrett Stoll. Mm-hmm. He's 35 years old and he's retired.
Oh, no. He works in the Kings organization now.
Oh, he is still working for them.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Phew. I was wondering, like, what's a guy like that do for the rest of his life? So it sounds like he's got himself a non-playing hockey career.
Yeah, he's got okay. that. Plus, he's super attractive and could probably get a job doing something, being hot, like a hot job.
Hot job. I ran out of steam halfway through that.
Are there jobs you can get just for being hot?
Yes, Beam. I wouldn't right. know. Okay. Oh. And finally.
Well, congratulations to the happy
couple. Oh, yes. God bless him. And finally, you can add 50 Cent's name to the long, long, long list of dudes that are nursing a huge crush on Helen Mirren. He posted a photo with the actress on Instagram last week and fessed up that, quote, "I think I love her, man." If you're keeping track at home, Helen Mirren, who also is beloved by basically any dude with eyes, James Marsden, Ryan Reynolds, she is 71 years old.
71.
70.
Ladies and gentlemen.
One. And super hot. And if you feel like it, Google some pictures of her in what you would say was her prime. And good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, she's been pretty her whole life.
Yeah, she's a
beautiful
woman. I'm busy
now. You can't be hounding a pimp.
All right, thank you,
Fitty. Okay, thank you, Fitty. Let's talk about some birthdays. First of all, I apologize across the board for not mentioning that today is Harry Potter's birthday. Turning 20.
Asshole.
I know. Turning 20 years old today. 20 years ago is when we first got that book, Harry Potter doing stuff. Right?
It's a big deal
it
for
is.
A lot of people.
You told me to put it in, so I did.
I'm just saying.
Oh.
20 years. I mean, it's hard to imagine the world before the Harry Potter books. But
really?
They just, yes, they explode. I mean, they don't you think they're very much part of the fabric of society now?
Yes.
It's like there being no Star Wars. I mean,
all
it's
right.
that sort of thing.
Slow down.
I'm just saying,
I mean,
it may not have been
really.
For you.
Chill
it was
out.
For a, it was for a lot of people.
Down. Sit down. All right. Some other birthdays. Chris Isaak is 61. Nick Offerman, 47. Chris O'Donnell, 47. Sean Hayes, 47. Actor Jason Schwartzman is 37. Actress Aubrey Plaza is 33. And singer Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande?
Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande?
She's 24. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Allie. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers, and I love them with their blue shirts and their huge, oversized heads, are handing out random acts of helpfulness, and we all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. What?
Why are their heads so big?
Whenever we've met the Helpful Honda dealers, like at Foolishness or Kiss to Christmas or something like that, they always have a guy who's dressed in the outfit.
Oh, the mascot. I thought you meant just in general, because
no,
I've seen some very
of,
lovely Helpful Honda.
Not all of the people have the huge heads, but the mascots are the ones that we get our photo taken, and that dude's got an enormous noggin. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Hey, tomorrow, I don't know why you would, but come on back. Jessie Graff is going to be here. She, of course, is the amazing contestant from the American Ninja Warrior, who's just incredible and so inspirational. I enjoy her so much when she stops by the show. Keith Cosgrove is going to be on the program tomorrow, too. He is the showrunner for a little program called All or Nothing, where they are taking you, this on Amazon Prime, they are taking you behind the scenes of last year's Rams season.
Oof.
And there are a few things that are more mysterious to me than how sports franchises work. and the mindset that you have to be in to play professional sports, particularly football. And it's crazy to see what that world is like. So much stuff you normally don't have access to. So if you're a Rams fan or a football fan, that is definitely something you're going to want to check out. We'll talk to Keith about that tomorrow. Ralph should be back tomorrow along with Petros Papadakis for the Bachelorette Report that we'll do around 7:30 like usual. And we got more tickets for you to see the Foo Fighters at Cal Jam 17. That's all tomorrow right here on K-Rock.